Dear friends, we have been considering in a very general sense, in a very surface manner, the characters that are described in this wonderful chapter of Hebrews that demonstrate what faith is. When it speaks about faith, it is always good to see tangibly, what does it look like? How can I see faith operating, working out? It is one thing to say something in abstract, just to make a statement, but it's another thing to see it operating, working out. Show me, we might say to God. Show me, how does it work? And so the Lord shows us through these not perfect servants, but weak and sinful servants, but He focuses on an aspect of their life that shows faith operating. So it begins with Abel saying, if you want to worship God, this is how you worship God. By faith, you must worship God. And it might be costly for you. Worship is a costly thing. And it cost Abel his life. Then there was Enoch. He walked with God. There was the walk of faith. There's the worship of faith. There's a walk of faith. And we saw how Enoch lived before God, walked with God, and it pleased the Lord. His faith pleased the Lord. And I won't go into detail of what that meant about his life. But now we come to verse 7. And there, again, going with the W, there is the work of faith. Work of faith. Faith has hands and feet. Faith does things, as James tells us. And so in this study, we consider Noah and we see in him an illustration of the work of faith. For as believers, it is not only our privilege to come into fellowship with God, and that only happens by the grace of God, the sovereign mercy of God, reaching down to us and taking us. A man who is dead breathes into us new life. The Lord gives us a new heart. The heart begins to beat. But then what happens? This faith that is given begins to get up, begins to walk, begins to work, and does things. And so that is a wonderful thing. The Lord doesn't just say, look, I will save you, and then I want you to just sit there. As we might sit in front of some screen and watch something, be it on our phones or on our computers or on a TV. The Lord doesn't do that. He says, I want you to be involved in this. We are co-workers with God to glorify Him. That is what we ought to be doing. We are not just saved so that we might go to heaven. We are saved to live for Him and affect this world for the glory of God. And so we have these words, for example, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, what a privilege to say, I am working for God and with God. As workers together with Him. What a privilege. And then in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, you already know that. It is very familiar. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So again, it goes back to the election of God. We are ordained that we should walk in these things. In James 2 and verse 17, we see that wherever there is true faith, living faith in Jesus Christ, there is always outward evidence of that faith. So we read, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So belief affects our behavior, our way of living. So you ask yourself, if your life is not really something that resembles the life that the Lord speaks about, what kind of faith do you have? Yes, of course, we can have works without faith. We can have an outward work without a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have something that people see outwardly, but inside it's dead men's bones. But we have to question ourselves, what kind of life do we have? Is it affected by our faith? Faith shows itself in works. So it is vain to say that we have faith in God if there are no works in our lives resulting from such faith. Noah had faith, which made him well-pleasing to the Lord, and which was seen in the amazing work which he did in the building of that great ark, in proclaiming as well of God's word, and in obeying the Lord. Those are the things that we see in the life of Noah. And we could have read together chapter 6 and 7 and 8, but I trust you are familiar with the account. And here in verse 7, it says, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Or in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, it's referenced in this way. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, as you think about these things, you have to realize that there are a number of reasons why this study of Noah is so up-to-date in its teaching. It is very up-to-date. The Bible is the most up-to-date book you can have. It was written in the old, but it speaks about the past, present, and the future. And beyond that, beyond the end of the world to come. So it is the most up-to-date book. And there's a number of lessons here that makes it interesting for us to study. For example, Noah lived in the day of grace, and so do we. Noah lived in the day of grace. In Noah's case, the door of salvation was open for so many years. So many years. At least 120 years. There was opportunity. We live in a day of grace when God's presentation of salvation, this salvation is presented, or some would say offered, and it's still being made to men and women. And so we can say it is the day of grace. All is made ready, as the Lord said. That's why this is a good study for our day. But also, Noah lived and worked in a day of terrible apostasy. And so do we. If you were to read Genesis chapter 6 and verses 1 through to 7, you will see this for yourself, the wickedness of it. And we won't read it just yet, but I'm going to refer to it a number of times throughout this study. So it might be a good idea to have your finger in chapter 6. But he lived in such a wicked times that the Lord had to come. It says in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And what a day we are living in, dear friends. In 1 Timothy 4 and verses 1 through to 3, we are told this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, these are the days that we are living in, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And so as Noah lived and labored for the Lord in a time of spiritual, great spiritual decay and moral darkness and wickedness, so do we. So that makes it interesting for us to study the life of Noah. What kind of a faith did he have? And also Noah lived and worked in an end of an era, and so do we. Noah worked for the Lord in the last days of that known world before the flood, and we live in a world which is coming to an end. It is, we are, from the time of Christ, we have entered into the end times. And some would say we are in the end of the end times. And Well, we shall wait and see for that. The Lord, we do not know when he will come back. But, dear friends, it is clear of the things that we see. So let's look at Noah and let us see how faith works. So you want to see what faith is like? This is how it works. What is the work of faith? First of all, the work of faith is to hear the voice of God amid the clamor of other voices. Is to hear the voice of God. So the work of faith is to be listening. There is work going on when you're listening. When you listen to something and it is important for you, it takes your energy. When you've been in a class and you're or reading a book to because you know that an exam is coming, it takes so much of your energy. You're listening. There's work involved. And here is the work of faith, to hear the voice of God in the midst of all the other clamor. I am a little concerned about my hearing, I must confess. In a gathering like this, when everyone's talking to each other, I'm finding it more and more difficult to focus on your voices. So if I don't hear you, please bear with me and repeat the thing two or three times or louder. Some of you appreciate what I'm talking about. I hope I'm not going deaf. But there we are. But it is a hard work to listen to someone. To be trying to, in the midst of other voices, to just listen to that one voice. It's difficult. And here was this man, Noah. And what a confused state the land was in. Full of different voices. And this world in which we are living in, full of different voices. And amid the babbling voices, Noah, by faith, heard God speak to him. And you read this in Genesis 6 and verses 13 and onwards. Genesis chapter 6, we read in verse 13, "And God said unto Noah." So God looked at all of these things, looked at all of the wickedness, looked at all of the things that were going on in the earth. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And so it says in chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God." So God warned him. He heard the warning. And dear friends, the first work of faith for us is to do the same. It's not easy, because like Noah, we are surrounded by so many confusing voices, even religious ones. And people are saying to us all sorts of things about this world, what it's like. You have those who are now talking about the climate this and climate that. And all sorts of things that happens. And now we don't deny that certain things are happening. But so much of this stuff becomes politicized. And you have to rummage through, see what is the truth? Who is speaking sense? It's all this alarm. The world is coming to an end. It's all becoming apocalyptic. But my friends, all these voices, and it's if a person is not living by faith, they would be filled with fears, like so many people that we see all around us. But the work of faith is to be listening to the voice of God. In the scriptures, the work of faith is to catch God's voice amid all other voices of the earth and the voices of Satan, who is the father of lies. And the Lord says to us again and again, and he says to his disciples, he says, "If ye hear his voice, harden not your heart." God's people can be hardening their hearts against the word of God. And so the Lord says, don't harden your heart. Listen to me. Listen, the world can harden your heart too. If you're listening to the things of this world, you become very much used to it. Sometimes it is that I have to speak to myself here. We are listening to certain maybe news channels and certain podcasts, and even in the news, there's so much blasphemy that goes on. And you can get used to it. It can harden you against the truth. And we can listen to certain things and watch certain things, and you have to really put a pause and say, is this good for me to get so used to it? And so we are reading as a family the book of Jeremiah, and here is a man in tears because people have neglected the Lord. And I think to ourselves, I think to myself, how do I shed tears for the world around me, the people that I see around me? Do I really feel for them? Or am I just so used to things going on? And we are wrapped up in our own little bubble. Be careful that we are being touched by the word of God and the voice of the Lord. Let us not harden our hearts, but to hear his voice. So that is one thing. The work of faith is one of hearing the voice of the Lord. Second, the work of faith is to obey the voice of God, however contrary to human reason it may seem to be. The work of faith is to obey the voice of God, even though the world would ridicule it. In Genesis 6 and verse 14, it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, if you think about it, this is the first time the world has heard of an ark. What does it look like? What could it be like? And so God gives the instruction. This is how I want you to make it. This is what it has to have. It has to have this amount of rooms. It has to be made with such and such a piece of wood. It has to be pitched within and without. Nobody had heard about an ark. Nobody had heard about a flood. It's all new to them. Surely there must be a mistake. No, God has said it. And the work of faith is to accept and act upon God's revelation, however contrary the human reason it may be. We ought to act upon it. God has said it. Or in verse 22 of Genesis 6, we read, thus did Noah. That's a good response. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. My friends, we ought to do all of it, not just some of it. It's like telling a child and say to a child, well, I want you to go and brush your hair, wash your face, brush your teeth, and then come down, and then we'll see to the rest of it. And then the child goes and brushes their hair, but doesn't brush their teeth. That's not all of the commandment of God. I'm speaking of experience. So that is the case. But he did all that God commanded him. And then it adds, so did he. Underlines it. God's people have often been called mad when they have done God's bidding. And my friends, it is a hard thing. When you have to stand in front of some people, when you know, for example, in your workplace, you know people are going to laugh at you. They think you're a crazy conspiracy theorist or whatever else they might think of you. Oh, you're denying science now. We know the world was made millions and millions of years ago. What kind of a flat earther are you? That's what we are called these days. As we don't even believe in the flat earth in the way that some folk believe. But they deny the word of God, and they deny those people who hold to it. And it's difficult. It is hard. Christians have been thrown before the lions for holding to the word of God. And they would be happy enough for you to just come to your church. Just sit here. The world is happy with that. No one stopped you coming. But my friends, that's when you are facing them in your workplace, in places of education, in amongst your friends, amongst your family. And it is hard. Festus said with a loud voice to Paul, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad, he said. And so you will be called mad. You'll be called an extremist if you're a Christian. You'll be called that you believe in all these conspiracy theorists. And my friends, at the time, Christianity was a conspiracy theory. That's what it was. This is a new thing. This is something that is going against the status quo. Nobody else believes these things except these groups that are believing in somebody. Their leader has been resurrected from the dead. How crazy is this idea? But that's the work of faith. That's the work of faith. In spite of it all, we obey the word of God. Thirdly, the work of faith is to do the will of God, even though you appear to be the only ones doing it. Even though you might be alone. Are you the only Christian in your home? Are you the only Christian in school or college or wherever else? In your workplace? In the place where you are living, on that street? Noah was the only one at first. And God's people have always been in the minority. You think about it. You remember Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and verse 14? He had this idea. He thought he was the only one. And he reasoned like this. And I quote, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And often you may feel that is the case, but it is never true. It's not true. God hasn't had just one witness. There's been rare occasions there's been one witness. There are always others. Others that the Lord has. And even if you are the only one, the Lord is with you. So there are two of you. Than just one of you. And often you feel that is the case. And God's people are found in many, many places. And what we need to be doing is to live out our lives for God and influence every area of society in which we are working and living. And then you will see that God's people begin to find each other. In certain situations you have been in, then you find that, oh, so-and-so is a Christian. And so-and-so is a Christian. The Lord brings His people, and we often say, it's a small world in the Christian world. And there are times that the devil suggests to you that you are mistaken in being a Christian. Because so few are Christians. And you begin to doubt and you begin to have fears. Then remember, it's the work of faith. And it's a work of faith to call the devil a liar. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8 and verse 44, He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it. And this world, my friends, is filled with lies. And the things that you hear every day, you have to have discernment from the Word of God. What is true? The truth is the thing that is at stake all the time. And the devil knows it. So, that is another thing. The work of faith is to do what the will of God, even though you appear to be the only one. Even though you are the only one in your family. Even though you are the only one in your workplace. But then, fourthly, the work of faith is to go on with God's work in the face of every opposition and discouragement. So you want to see what faith is like? You go on doing God's work when you're facing all kinds of troubles because of it. When you are being discouraged and everyone says, you ought to give up, you ought to give up. Dear friends, I had a phone call yesterday of a pastor and said, can I ask for some wisdom? And the church is splitting. And he has been advised by various pastors to just give up and leave and go, even though the church has been so blessed in the past 2 years. And this was a place where there was only a handful of people going. Now, it is they're like us. They've had to buy new chairs and all sorts of things. But the devil has got in. And he has got in, and there are different individuals who think to themselves, well, now these people come, we don't have the same kind of influence that we used to have. And so they're causing all kinds of things in the church. And I said to this man, I said, I think you ought to stand. I thought, I think you ought to stand and don't give up. These people who've come in, these new people who've come in, they've come because you have been preaching the word of God. You've been faithful. So remain faithful. But it's so easy to become discouraged. It's so easy to give up, dear friends. And you know it, and I know it. We have done it. But it is the work of faith to carry on. And there is no doubt that Noah suffered opposition and must have been discouraged. How many times he must have been tempted to ask, is it worthwhile? Is it? I don't see anything right now. Am I mistaken? After all, did God really say? He must have been laughed at by the godless crowd. All those around him must have mocked him. Surely you're mad. And so how does this opposition that we have to bear compare with that of Noah? The little mockings, the little laughing. We read this in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, which is a great verse that has helped me many, many times. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. This temptation is trials. The various things you can fit into that. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What you are experiencing is common. It's normal. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And oftentimes it is that you say, well, it's not really true. I can't bear this. Even if you can't bear it, then that means you can cast yourself upon the Lord even more than ever before. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. So the Apostle Paul got confused at times. He didn't know what to do, but not in despair, he says. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. What an encouragement that is. If the Apostle Paul felt like this, if Noah felt like that, then when I am being discouraged, I must say, it's the work of faith. I carry on, looking unto the Lord Jesus. Fifth thing. The fifth work of faith is to accept God's judgment without questioning his justice. Yes, accept God's judgment without questioning his justice. Imagine if this news, and I was trying to put myself in the shoes of Noah. Imagine if this news came to you and God said, I am going to destroy this whole world. I would be heartbroken. I would be thinking about all these people that I lived with. All these people around me, all my family, and they used to live for a long, long time. And so they would have had so many, many families around them. Their loved ones, they're going to be destroyed. But that is exactly what happened. One day, God revealed to Noah that he was planning to send this flood to destroy every living thing upon the earth. And what was Noah's response? Well, he didn't say it, but by his actions, it was as if he said what Abram said to the Lord, Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You see, dear friends, God is always right. He is sovereign over everything. He's righteous in every way. You may not understand it, and you cannot understand his justice and judgments, but he's right. We read in Psalm 19 and verse 9, and it's always true. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And then it says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's not unfair. It is always fair. But then again, we receive so many things that we don't deserve, in the sense that God gives us more blessings than the curses and the judgments. You must remember the severity of God as well as His goodness. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in Romans 11 and verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Dear friends, these are important things when you think about it. They are very practical things. The work of faith is to accept God's judgment without questioning his justice. So when your whole world crashes down around you, and you see so many things happening, and God is bringing about his word in this world, and people and nations are crumbling everywhere, and kingdoms fall, and the economy crashes, and there's a third world war takes place, and the world is filled with all of these kinds of things, you say to yourself, God's ways are perfect. You have to accept that God is righteous. He's showing the wickedness of man, and he's destroying them. He's judging them severely. And it says this in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 7 through to 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So you think the world is bad right now and the things that are happening are bad, but wait till Jesus Christ comes and see what he will do with this world. In flaming fire, he says, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This is how the Lord will come, with judgments upon his wings. And this world shall burn up with fervent heat, the scripture says. But the work of faith is to live and to work in the light of this solemn fact. This is what's going to happen ultimately. But what I'm going to do, I will live for the Lord. I will do all that I can to influence and affect this world for God's glory. But whatever I'm doing, I'm not just waiting to go to heaven. I'm going to spend all of my days in whatever task I am doing. I will do my best for Christ. I will seek to make changes, influence individuals around me, and witness of the Lord while I have breath. And sixthly, the work of faith is to proclaim the message of God, however solemn and unacceptable it is. It is to proclaim the message of God. So it is the work of faith. And there are two sides to Noah's message. There is a salvation. The scripture says that he preached righteousness. But this message is that there is salvation for all who will enter the ark. And he said it to everybody. The ark was there. The door was open. It wasn't shut. And then the another side of the message is that there is judgment for all who will not enter the ark. In the New Testament language, in the words of our Lord, Noah's message was this: he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, it says in Mark 16 and verse 16, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We should be continually, dear friends, crying out like John the Baptist. As he said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had come to be baptized, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There needs to be a warning ministry going on. And only by doing so, dear friends, we can point sinners to the Savior. And here as well in verse 7, it speaks about the which he condemned the world. It is through his preaching he condemned the world. It is by this we show that the world is condemned already, as the Lord said. But we must do this. We must do this. Ezekiel, the Lord said to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33 and verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Or the apostle says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So there is this work of faith is one of declaring the way of salvation and preach the whole counsel of God to sinners. And finally, the work of faith secures the reward of faith. The work of faith secures the reward of faith. Here we read again in verse 7 that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, to the saving of his family. And that, then it goes on to say, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So not only was Noah accepted by the Lord because of his faith, but also Noah's loved ones were saved as a result of Noah's work of faith. There is the reward there. As I was studying this, I came to a verse, helpful verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7, where the Lord gives this promise. He says, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Your work shall be rewarded. God will bless the works of your hands. Are you exercising faith in the Lord? Are you living your life? Then others around you will be affected for good. When that man cried out and said, what must I do to be saved? And the apostle said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Are we living for the Lord? If we are truly, genuinely, if we are not letting other things affect and come in and destroy the work that we have tried to do, then the Lord will bless your hand. The Lord will help you to be a faithful witness wherever you are. Last night I read this in this little chapel library booklet where the Spurgeon speaks about godliness in the home and how it has to affect others. It must be seen. And then he quoted, and he said this, let me quote it for you. He says, most of all, take care to have religion in your houses. A religious house is the best proof of true piety. Not my chapel, it is my house. Not my minister, it is my house home companion who can best judge me. It is the servant, the child, the wife, the friend that can discern most of my real character. A good man will improve his household. The work of faith that we are talking about. And then he quotes, he says, Roland Hill once said, he would not believe a man to be a true Christian if his wife, his children, his servants, and even the dog and the cat were not the better for it. Do you see how the work of faith can affect others, even the dog and the cat? And isn't that true, really? Well, may God help us to see this aspect of faith that works. And may the Lord help us and make his word a blessing to us. Let us pray.